Are you listening to me?
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 I don't know. I'm not even listening.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
Listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Listen.
Now listen up and listen good, everyone.
No, I'm not listening.
You're listening to Dimitri live and dangerously local on the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Incredible show for you today. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it greatly. We've got the live in studio guest, which means that you can see the show on the Facebook live stream. Go to the River Talk Facebook page, and you will see State Senator Laura Wakeham Chapman. Full disclosure, she is a client of Dimitri 2020 LLC. She is an advertiser here on this radio station, and she is running for the Republican primary nomination for the 1st Senate District in West Virginia, essentially the Northern Panhandle. She is our very special guest. Later on, I'll be talking about her opponent, Joe Eddy. I've been trying to reach out to him, and he is stonewalling us here on Dimitri Live and dangerously local, so we will address that issue as well. But right now, Laura Wakeham Chapman, thanks so much for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Great. So big day is tomorrow.
Yes.
And you're a state senator. Give a little background here on who you are, where you came from. And this time, mention your parents. Mention Chris. Mention Jeanette, Gigi. And because last time, you know, with your bio, you didn't even mention them. And I thought, man, this is not a good sign.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Who are you?
So my dad was a captain in the military, and so I grew up in a military family. I'm daughter and granddaughter of veterans, mother of two young children, married to Matt, and I never wanted to get into politics to begin with, but then COVID happened and the school shut down, and I was calling my representatives wondering what was going on.
Yeah.
And so when I called down there, I noticed that there really weren't a lot of women and definitely not a lot of mothers. And so I realized, look, I think I could bring a fresh perspective to Charleston. And so I decided to run.
Yeah. Now, were you upset about the whole COVID thing with the vaccines, the mandates, and people losing their jobs and everything because they wouldn't submit to these mandates?
Yes, that too. And I was also upset because my kids were required to wear masks in school, and they were only 3 and 4, I think, at the time. And so I think that we needed more common sense, especially from a parent's perspective down there.
So what did you do?
I decided to run that following, so 2022, the next election, I put my name on the ballot and I ran a really good but difficult race. I ran against a delegate who had been, you know, in the political scene for almost 20 years, and I was successful. And so I've been, you know, hitting the ground running ever since.
So what exactly have you done for us in Charleston?
Well, one of the big things that I really wanted to see happen was school security. And we were able to pass that bill, the Guardian Act, where retired law enforcement can sit in our schools, obviously get more training, but sit in our schools and protect our children, teachers, and staff. I also...
Did it work?
You know, it's up to the schools to employ. I haven't actually seen them do that yet, but...
I haven't seen any news stories about any shooting, thank God,
right,
in West Virginia. So my guess is it worked.
Yes. Well, you know, you hear about these tragedies all over the United States, and luckily it hasn't happened
right.
In West Virginia.
Right.
But it's not even just for that. It's also for, you know, bullying and, you know, just having another mentor there too. So, yeah, I mean, that was one of the big things. I've focused on children's issues because I am a mother, but I also really, you know, I'm raising my young family in the Northern Panhandle, and so I feel like I'm in the thick of it. And I listen to everyone who, you know, wants to talk to me. I've given out probably 3,000 of cards with my cell phone number on it, and people do call me.
They do?
They do.
What, crank calls? I know that's what I would do. But that's just me, that's all.
Yeah, no, I mean, people... genuinely have issues that they want to talk to their representatives about.
Like what? What's the main one?
Roads.
Roads?
Roads, yes. And utility cost. You know, it really is a range. And of course, you know, sometimes they have more specific problems like with the DEP and, you know.
Well, you solved a big problem with the DEP for the phase, right? Phase.
I did, yes. So the DEPs.
He loves you, by the way.
I know.
He's great.
That
guy loves you. Oh,
yeah. John and Mary are great people. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, I really pride myself on my constituent services, meaning if a constituent calls me, I do try to solve their problem. Sometimes I can't, but a lot of times I can either point them in the right direction or solve it for them.
And when the problem happened in your district with that ramp right off of Wheeling Tunnel as you're heading from west to east, now that is open. Tell us about that.
That tunnel is one of the only high-tech tunnels in West Virginia.
That's high-tech?
It is. I know. You wouldn't think that, but it's actually a very complicated system. And so,
the Wheeling Tunnel?
Yes.
That's like driving through a colonoscopy. Are you kidding me?
I know. Well, I've been trying to get, and I think that they did do a little bit of cleaning and fix the lights and everything. I know. It needs completely rehabilitated.
No, they didn't. Yeah. You want to see what it should look like? Go to Pittsburgh, drive through the Fort Pitt Tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it should look like. These people here are terrible. But the good news is you got the ramp open.
Yes.
So tell the listeners about that.
Well, you know, there's construction all the time, and it was just good. I actually have a really great relationship with State Roads. So,
really?
Yep. We can't direct them to do work, but every time I call them with a concern, usually from a constituent, they go and check it out, and they've been good about fixing it for the most part.
This was opened now a few days, right?
I think so, yes.
Okay. You should have taken more credit for that, for heaven's sakes. It was like I'm driving through the Wheeling Tunnel, which is horrible, and I noticed that the barricades were down. It's like, oh, my God, Laura got this thing done. That's great. That's terrific.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to be obnoxious about it and scream at them, because that's what I would have done.
Right. No, like I said, they're usually pretty responsive to me, so I appreciate, you know, sometimes things take time, but I appreciate their work.
That is great. Good. What else did you do in Charlotte? By the way, live exclusive interview with Laura Wakeham Chapman, state senator, West Virginia, running for the Republican primary nomination. That is tomorrow. The polls open. What time do the polls open in West Virginia tomorrow?
I believe 6 a.m.
All right. So get there early, vote often, and hope that she wins. Again, full disclosure, Dimitri 2020 LLC client and also an advertiser on this radio station. I'm all about transparency. If you don't want to hear this, that's fine. But I'm all in with her. She is the pride of MAGA Nation as far as I'm concerned. And her opponent is a retired lobbyist from South Carolina that they dug up. Could they not find a good candidate to run against you? They had to go to South Carolina, his retirement home there, bring him up here and, you know, prop him up. It's like Weekend at Bernie's or something like that, to try to make him seem like he's viable. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of recruitment efforts people put in, but
that's the best they could come up with. Holy cow, unsteady Eddie. And that debate, not even debate, a candidate's night at the in the Pine Room at Ogilvy. Wheeling Area Chamber of Commerce did a very nice job with the candidates. Channel 9 did a great job with their TV coverages. You know, it was great. Mm-hmm. But poor Joe Eddie, my God, the man couldn't tell time. He couldn't tell time. You know, they had the different time things about, you know, green and yellow and red and whatever. He couldn't tell time. They had to keep cutting him off. It's like, I'm sorry that your time is up, figuratively. Just very bad, very, very bad. So what else what's going on in Charleston right now? How is Morrissey doing a good job?
Oh, I think Morrissey's doing an excellent job. You know, he doesn't get enough credit from the media, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the media down in Charleston. You know, we've passed such great bills for the short actually it's only been about a year and a half that he's been governor. We've made it easier to get a job with the occupational licensing reform, where a nurse in Alabama or a plumber in Alaska can move to West Virginia, immediately get licensed and get to work instead of waiting.
So it's reciprocal?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
It is great. And great. I think that will encourage people to move into West Virginia.
Yeah.
We've also seen about $12.8 billion in private equity investment announcements.
What does that mean?
So instead of taxpayer money going to recruit these businesses are choosing to come to West Virginia and invest their own money.
Okay. Now, there is one interesting problem. which at first I thought would be great for West Virginia because of all the energy that we have here. But now the more I read about it, the more concerns that I have about these AI big data centers and the amount of energy, electricity that they suck, and water, and the devastation going on in the Columbus area alone, other parts of the country. This is actually pretty bad.
Well, I think I understand your concerns. I think if it's done properly, it will be okay. So, yes, those big monstrosities that you're talking about, that is terrifying. That, I mean,
the water's bad, problems are bad enough now.
Right.
Electricity rates are high enough now that it's insane. You know, thank you, Erica Storch. But this, if they build these things, I mean, it's going to be terrible for us.
Well, again, there's other ways to do it. Like, you can just take a floor of a business or like a block, and they have air cooling systems instead of using the water. And actually, I think the more that we do put people onto the grid as far as ratepayers, so a large consumer of energy, it will actually reduce energy costs.
I don't know about that. I don't think so. I think they have to produce more and more. I don't think so. Laura, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
But I'm actually very concerned about it. At first, I thought it'd be a godsend. Mm-hmm. But the more I'm reading about these things, going, oh my God. And the just anyway, that's for a different day. Yeah. So you are a big believer in parental rights, especially when it comes to religious exemptions for children. Talk about that, because not a lot of the rhinos were on board with you, and certainly Sean Fluharty, who's the Democratic candidate, who is going to be the likely, you know, candidate in the fall, was all for that as well. So tell me about religious exemptions. I'm amazed that we're even having this discussion regarding West Virginia. I really am.
Right. So that's one of my priorities. When I was the Senate Health Chair two sessions ago, I pushed for a religious exemption and actually got it to pass overwhelmingly in the Senate.
Describe what that means to my listeners.
Sure. So 45 other states have at least a minimum of a religious exemption, including all of our neighboring states, to childhood vaccinations. And so what that means is if a parent has a religious issue with a component of a vaccine, like what it is made up of, or actually vaccinating their children with any or all vaccines, they can claim a religious exemption and then allow their child to go to school.
And the vaccine, part of the problem with Brennan, this Massachusetts liberal, part of the vaccine actually can be traced back in the creation to aborted fetuses.
Correct. And we are a pro-life state. And so
you wouldn't know that by the Diocese of Willing-Charleston with that thing that he sent. I still can't get over that. I still cannot get over that.
Well, I am Catholic, and we get our...
You're very Catholic.
Yes.
You are very, very Catholic. Eloise had her first communion.
Correct. Yep.
At the Lebanese church.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, they're very Catholic. not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just putting it out there.
Right. Yes.
Chris is going to hate me right now. Her dad is just going to hate me.
No. My dad actually has a lot of respect for you.
He does?
Yes, he does.
We talk about the same Chris Wakeham?
Yes, of course.
Oh, God. All right. I love Gigi, though.
She is
a darling.
She's great.
Yeah.
But the hypocrisy of the whole vaccine debate is that the teachers and staff don't have to prove that they're vaccinated.
That's
and
amazing.
Also, when we play sports against somebody in Ohio or Pennsylvania, we don't know if those children are vaccinated, but yet we deny an education to our children.
It is just amazing to me. And you trace that back to the power of big hospitals, they have medical complexes in West Virginia that pretty much own a lot of the politicians in Charleston.
Absolutely. So I have seen politicians, vote for religious exemptions, then, change their vote over the weekend or the next year. It's the vaccines and then certificate of need, which is really a big sticking point.
Yeah. Going to talk more with our very special guest, Laura Wakeham Chapman. She is state senator. She is running for the Republican nomination for the first district in Ohio, the Northern Panhandle. Full disclosure, a client of Dimitri 2020 LLC and an advertiser on the station.